afternoon, good evening. My name is Marty Plum, and I am your host of A Pen and a Napkin Podcast, a weekly coaching clinic that you can carry around with you in your pocket. Well, today is the day. Today is the day that Kings of Their Court, three teams, one city in the greatest basketball season in Nebraska high school history, goes public. And, you know, I hope you're not on the fence in purchasing it. I hope that you give it a go. It's $19.99 on paperback. It's $9.99 via Kindle. Just go to Amazon, go to Books, type in Kings of Their Court, and it should pop up right there. Really excited to get this out into the world. It's been a long time coming. And I thought what I would do to kind of give folks a little bit of a preview of the book is to go through parts of the first chapter of the book. I'm not going to read the entire first chapter because I think it's over 22 pages or something like that. But what I decided to do was to take just kind of jump around a little bit, take about four different sections and kind of piece it together to kind of give you an idea of what the book is all about. So not necessarily what it's all about, but part of what it's all about. So let's jump into it here. Here is an abridged version of Chapter 1 of Kings of Their Court. Chapter 1, The Buildup. 5:48, fourth quarter. 56-44 in favor of the visitors in blue. Tim Cannon looked up at the scoreboard at Pinnacle Bank Arena in downtown Lincoln, Nebraska, and knew that his Millard North Mustangs were so very close to a state championship, but there was so much more that needed to be done. We were feeling really good going into that timeout, but we also knew that Bellevue West probably had one more run in them, Cannon said. I really felt if we just took care of the ball, hit some free throws, the game was ours. If that lead held true, the one thing that had eluded Cannon for 39 years as a head coach, that elusive state championship, would finally be his. But the basketball gods would not make it that easy on him. Millard North's 2019-20 season, one could argue, began the year before in the district championship game against Omaha Westside. With the state tournament berth on the line, Cannon's young squad came into Westside's gym riding a seven-game winning streak and had fought tooth and nail with the Warriors for 31 minutes. With seconds left in the game, senior forward Brett Porter, who would later walk on at the University of Nebraska, took a strong right-hand drive from the left wing and finished an acrobatic layup to put the Mustangs up 53-51 with 0.4 seconds left. We felt really good in the huddle that they had to go 94 feet in less than a second, Cannon said. Westside called timeout immediately after Porter's make. After conferring, the officials reset the clock to 1.6 seconds, but the Warriors still had to go the length of the court. Westside had a plan, and they were prepared for the situation. We had run the play earlier this year against Lincoln East, and we had missed the shot. And we talked about how we've ran this a bunch before. We've practiced this before, so let's let it rip and see what happens, Westside coach Jim Simon said after the game. Senior Tucker Hagen took the ball out of bounds and threw a baseball pass to Chase Thompson, who had flashed up from the backcourt. Two Mustangs challenged Thompson as Thompson tipped the ball to his right to senior Carl Brown. The ball bounced once, but remarkably hit Brown perfectly in rhythm for a jump shot as he launched it from 33 feet out. The shot hit the backboard, rolled around from the right side of the rim to the left side of the rim, hit the backboard, then rolled all the way around the rim again before hanging on the rim for a split second, then fell in. Game over. 54-53 Westside. The Westside crowd rushed the floor, while Mustang fans went from elation to anguish in the blink of an eye. The play was, quite obviously, devastating for Cannon and his crew. An amazing sequence of events, which later ended up as the top play on ESPN's SportsCenter, denied the Mustangs a trip to Lincoln and Pinnacle Bank Arena. No state tournament once again, the sixth year in a row with no state tournament since Cannon had arrived at Millard North. That play was unbelievable. And early the next year, I had one of my coaches come up to me and say, "Coach, have you forgot about that shot?" And I said, "No, I will never forget that shot," Cannon said. "That shot acted as motivation for me, and I'm sure that it did for the players." Ian McPhillips, who was a junior on that 2019-20 team, agreed with Cannon. That's what really pushed us that offseason. We were so close to getting to state, and I think that we could have made a run if we had gotten there. We worked hard as a team, and we hung out a lot outside of basketball. This was more than just basketball. This was a brotherhood. The team that Millard North had down by 12 points with 5:48 left to go, the Bellevue West Thunderbirds, had its own roller coaster ride coming into the 2020 final, and they too had their own motivations to make up for a disappointing end to their 2018-2019 season. Bellevue West had a banner season in 2018-19, coming into the state tournament, 25-1 and the top seed in the bracket. After cruising to an 11-point victory in the open round against Papillion La Vista South, Doug Woodard's Thunderbirds were completely dominated in the semifinal against another traditional Nebraska power, Omaha Central, 71-57. Bellevue West, who had defeated Central in the regular season by 15 points in December, trailed 37-17 at halftime and were never really in the game in the second half. We just couldn't hit a shot. A lot of credit goes to Central. They played a zone, and we just couldn't make a shot, Woodard said. I felt like we attacked the zone fairly well, and any time it starts to snowball, instead of just relaxing, you start pressing. When we beat them in December, they didn't have a couple of their main players, so they weren't at full strength. Central was just really good at the end of the season. A disappointing end to a great season, and per usual, the Thunderbirds were ready to reload. In Nebraska prep circles, it's just assumed by most that Bellevue West is going to be part of the state tournament discussion year in and year out. Woodard had a strong stable of players to bring the Thunderbirds back into contention for the 2019-20 season. Most of those guys played together in AAU, and they had a good camaraderie with one another, Thunderbird assistant Steve Klein explained. They were able to gel with each other, yet get Chucky Hepburn and Frankie Fiddler involved, as they were playing with their own AAU teams. But probably the biggest thing was that they had a lot of different talents. We had a really good combination of talents, and they fit really well together. We had a large senior class and a lot of really good role player type of kids, Woodard said. We had a good big man in John Shanklin, who was physical and tough. We had a slicer in Lewis Fiddler. We had a great defender in Trey Hepburn. We had a lot of kids that were really good role players. Probably the most important player, the key, was Frankie Fiddler, Lewis's younger brother. When he was a freshman, we thought he was going to be a nice player, but then he just shot up. We could see it at the end of his sophomore year, in fact. We should just have played him more at the end of his sophomore year, but things were going so well that it was hard to find time for him. But then he took another jump in the summer between his sophomore and junior year. He was really developing as an elite scorer. He could post you up, he could put it on the floor with hesitation, he could obviously shoot it, and he's also a really good passer. I remember telling a couple of guys that rank classes and all that junk, and they really didn't have Frankie in there. I told them that Frankie was going to be better than most of the kids that they were ranked ahead of him, recalls Woodard. And then, of course, we had Chucky. Chucky, as he simply became known as, was junior-to-be and Trey's younger brother, Chucky Hepburn. A starter since day one of his freshman year, Hepburn was perhaps the most widely recruited player in the state, with offers from Minnesota, Texas Christian, Wisconsin, and of course local schools Creighton and Nebraska, by the time his junior summer was over. You could probably call Bellevue West point guard high school, like Penn State used to be linebacker U. You have someone like Zach Fortune, who played at Iowa State. Then you go to Josh and Jeremiah Dotzler, the CJ Johnsons. And then you move into Antoine Young and Chucky. We've been really fortunate to have those type of players, Coach Klein said. In early January 2020, the Center for Disease Control, or CDC, began to monitor an outbreak of pneumonia and respiratory illnesses in Wuhan, China. By January 10th, the CDC published information about this virus on its website. On January 13th, Thailand confirmed its first case, with Japan following 2 days later. On January 20th, Washington State confirmed the first stateside case of COVID-19. 2 days later, on January 22nd, the World Health Organization confirmed that COVID-19 can be transmitted from human to human, and the ease of which could be spread via human-to-human contact was alarming. The United States government began its response in earnest at this time. On January 29th, the Trump administration announced that they had established the Coronavirus Task Force, headed up by Alex Azar, the U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary. 2 weeks later, the nation of Italy became the world's first hotspot, With its large cramped cities and elderly population, the virus spread like wildfire. For the first time, the world saw just how deadly this virus could be, and if one was able to survive the virus but become hospitalized, how fragile our public health systems truly were. New phrases entered everyone's vocabulary over late February and early March. Social distancing was something we were now supposed to do. Coughing and sneezing were now questioned like they hadn't been in generations, since the Spanish flu outbreak after World War I. The world was changing daily, and sometimes hourly. Suddenly, at what seemed like overnight, everything was up in the air, and despite the government's best efforts, the virus was spreading, including to Nebraska. The Nebraska Girls State Tournament had been played the weekend before, but a male student from Crofton had tested positive for the virus. This student had spent time in the student section, and the fear was the virus may have spread to an undetermined number of students, players, and adults. The girls' tournament finished on Saturday, May the 7th, days before the shutdowns began. But by the time the boys' state tournament was to tip off, there had been 14 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in the state, and an untold number of either undiagnosed cases or infections that were in the incubation state. Well, I had a lot of fear, like many people, that we would never get to play. Once they called off the Creighton game at halftime, I wondered if we were going to get through the tournament, Cannon said. Obviously, you're concerned from a basketball perspective. No one likes the unknown, and there were a lot of rumors going around, Woodard said. We went through a range from where we thought they were going to pull the plug on this thing to where we thought everything was going to be all right. It was really up and down. I remember standing there after we played our first game with my assistants, and I thought that we were done. They're not going to call off the Big East tournament, the NCAA tournament, and then let us play. We were kind of resigned to not playing. I really give the NCAA a lot of credit. Number one, they had to really withstand a lot of pressure. And number two, I think they did the right thing. When the call was made and people were starting to shut things down, we were looking at ourselves like, what are we going to do? Mike Sauter, who covers high school sports and recruiting in the state of Nebraska through Herdat Sports, explained, at the end of every single quarter, every halftime, every end of game, we thought that they were going to shut it down. There was just no one there. It's too bad because the place would have been sold out. Walking into that huge arena and looking around at the few people that were there was very unique and something I will never forget, Tanya Sandoval, Tyler Sandoval's mother, said. However, we were so proud to get there and so happy we were still going to be able to play, even when the NBA was shut down. Governor Pete Ricketts announced an emergency declaration on the evening of March 13th, but by then the tournament had begun. With social distancing measures in place, the tournament would be closed to the public at every facility. Only immediate family members, essential media, and staff would be allowed inside the tournament facilities, along with the teams. The tournament did begin on Thursday, March 12th, as planned, and the Mustangs defeated a gritty Papillion La Vista South squad 62-60 in their opener. It was the fourth meeting against the Titans, and Cannon knew how difficult it was going to be to defeat a very good team once again, especially coaching in what was essentially an empty arena. You could hear a lot more, people trying to distract the players. I didn't think we played badly. Papillion was just really good. We knew they were going to be a tough out. Saint made a tough shot at the end of the game, and we were just happy to move on, Cannon said. We definitely had those first game jitters. Standing out there on that court with those bright lights and the shooting background, it was intimidating, even though there was no one there. I may have thrown up a couple of air balls during warm-ups, Ian Mifflix said with a laugh. The next evening, Millard North took on defending state champion Omaha South, who had been one of the best programs in the state for the last decade. Cannon's side put on a clinic in the third quarter, going on a 21-2 run instigated by Hunter Salas. The Mustangs, who had a 2-point lead at halftime, effectively ended the game by the end of the third quarter, keyed by a defensive adjustment at halftime. At halftime, we talked about going zone because they were penetrating a lot and things weren't going the way that we wanted. We were about 85% man-to-man, but we just did zones to mix things up. Right before the start of the second half, we're out by the benches as the kids were warming up. We had already told them that we were going to the zone. We, the coaching staff, just looked at each other and I told my coaches, piss on that, we're not going to zone. We changed it to where we were going to trap the first dribble or pass after half court, and it really worked. It really changed the game, and it made it into a 20-point game, Cannon said. For the first time in school history, the Millard North boys basketball team was in the state final, but it was not all roses. With about 3 minutes left in the semifinal, Hunter Salas went up in the air and his left ankle rolled as he landed on the foot of an Omaha South player. Writhing on the floor in agony for a couple of minutes, Salas made his way to the Mustang bench and elevated his ankle for the rest of the game. Insisting that he would be fine, Salas was not going to let a sprained ankle prevent him from playing in the biggest game of his life. We talked to Jason Green's father, who recommended a doctor that had a technique that would help with the swelling. The doctor came out and looked at the ankle, and he helped reduce the swelling enough so that he could stand on it. He could still play, but it was not going to be at the level that he would normally play at, Hunter's father, Travis Salas, said. I was in a lot of pain, Hunter said. I was doing all this rehab just to feel decent to go out there, going to all these different specialists. I was definitely hurting, but I was going to go out there and play. After it was all over, it took about 2 weeks for my ankle to get back to normal. Bellevue West also kept their own hot streak going into the tournament. The Thunderbirds, who were the top seed in the bracket, drew an overmatched Elkhorn squad in the opening round. Elkhorn, who is usually in Class B, the second largest classification in Nebraska, had a one-year enrollment spike that put them into the Class A field. Elkhorn went with a lot of 1-3-1 zone, and they tried to shorten the game on both ends with the zone on defense and holding the ball and being very patient on offense. It was definitely a clash of styles, Woodard said. They were a big, strong team, but I don't think that they were ready for our quickness and our aggressive defense, and it caused them a lot of problems. We forced a lot of turnovers, and we were able to capitalize on those turnovers. Bellevue West's victory in the open round set up a date against Omaha Westside, the same team that had defeated Millard North in the previous season in the district championship game. This time around, Chucky Hepburn and Frankie Fiddler made sure that the Thunderbirds' season would not end in the semifinal. Fiddler would carry the Thunderbirds in the first half, with 18 of his 23 points to spot Bellevue West the lead. But it was Hepburn who put together the masterpiece that sealed the deal, especially in the second half. Hepburn had 20 points in the second half and finished the night with 28 points, 6 rebounds, 12 assists, and, perhaps most importantly, 0 turnovers. The Thunderbirds pulled away for a convincing 89-70 victory and a berth in another state championship game. I remember Frankie going off, spreading the ball around, and we just shot the ball really well. It was one of our best offensive games that we've ever had at the state tournament since I've been at Bellevue West, because sometimes you get down there and the background is different and the teams are really good. We were just really got it going that night. Chucky was so good that night. I remember that he would have multiple nights like that, but you wouldn't really notice it until you saw the stats at the end of the game. It says so much about him as a player, Klein surmised. It was a classic game. Westside was very good and very dangerous, and we thought it was going to be a game until the last minute, Woodard stated. But watching Chucky control the game was so impressive. He controlled things on the defensive end and the tempo on offense. He got us good shots, and we shot the ball well. The thing that you get concerned about is that when you play that well in the semifinal, you just know that things aren't going to go that well in the next game. It's just human nature in that it's a very difficult to put games like that together back-to-back. The next game has nothing to do with that game. Woodard turned out to be correct. For 26 minutes, his Thunderbirds hung on for dear life the following night, and it tested his team more than it had been tested all season long. As Cannon briefly glanced up at that scoreboard, he knew how close his team was to hoisting a state championship trophy. Just execute, Cannon said, and we'll be champions. So that's it. That's bits and pieces of chapter one of the book, Kings of Their Court, Three Teams, One City, and the Greatest Basketball Season in Nebraska High School History. You're getting an idea of what was going on. The book literally starts out at the outbreak of COVID, which we all remember, and the craziness that went into that. And basically, we go over the next 365 days and everything that happened with Bellevue West, with Millard North, and, of course, with a third team, Creighton Prep. All of these teams ended up being ranked in the top 25 in the country at one point, and it's just a really, really good story. Again, I'm biased, but in my opinion, I think it's really, really good. So today's the day. Order it, Kindle, paperback, whatever you want to do. Pick up a copy. I think I'm biased. You're not going to regret it. If you're a basketball person, you're going to really, really enjoy this book. And I encourage you to check it out. So Coaches, I appreciate all your support. It's our 5-year anniversary. Hopefully you've had a chance to listen to Coach Van Gundy's podcast from yesterday. And yeah, it was just really, really good. It's just a good time to be associated with a pen and a napkin. I'm really proud of things. So hope you folks have enjoyed it. Thank you for everything over the last 5 years. I hope that you really enjoyed it. But coaches, as always, let's be sure to hone our craft one day at a time.